Welcome back to the Galveston Experience Podcast. We're up to episode number 111, produced at the Seawall Studios of RadioGalveston.com. And in just a moment, we'll be getting the scuttlebutt from Carla Jeters on the teen parenting program. But first, let's talk about what's happening around the island this weekend. Man, what a beautiful weekend. November is definitely the time to be on the island. And if you're a gamer, this is Gamer Weekend. It's the Galveston Island eSports Summit happening all weekend at the Galveston Island Convention Center. And it's also the biker weekend that's not really a biker weekend. We've certainly seen plenty of bikes already on the island. Of course, the official Lone Star Rally was canceled. We know that there's other things happening around Galveston County, and you'll definitely see your fair share of bikes around the island this weekend. So please drive with care. Let's see if we can have a zero fatality weekend here with all of our Iron Horse friends on the weekend. Lots of live music to coincide with all of our visitors this weekend. And we've got lots of great tours too, the Hurricane Tour, the Historic Ports, Pirates, and Architecture Tour, and of course the popular Ghost Bus Tour, all leaving from the Galveston Experience Company. On Saturday, the Basement to Attic Tour is happening at Bishop's Palace. Harborside Express train rides are also on. Several beach bucket brigades happening, and you can get details on all of this on the island events page at RadioGalveston.com. Also, Rotary is gearing up for their Toys for Tots project. The actual Toys for Tots drop-off is going to be November 20th, so it's time to start thinking about getting some unwrapped new toys over to Fisherman's Wharf at 22nd and Harborside. Again, that's from 10 to noon on Friday, November 20th. Members of the Rotary Club in Galveston and Marine representatives will be on site to accept your generous donation. Just drive up, curbside drop-off, get it in, get it out, and help some of our kids coming up this holiday season. So now let's get to this week's Scuttlebutt with Mike Dudas.
On this edition of the podcast, my guest is Carla Jeters, and she will give us all the scuttlebutt on the teen parenting program at the Galveston Independent School District. Hello, Ms. Jeters.
Hello.
So tell us about the program.
Well, the program has been here since 1990, and actually it's here to assist any parent, any teen parent, whatever campus that they're on. We can serve them by helping to provide them services for them and their child. Those services consist of child care, a teen parenting class. It can be transportation, connecting them to community resources that are available to assist them and their child, whatever the needs may be, and just helping them become a responsible and productive citizen of society.
So you just said the program is based here at Ball High, but you service the entire Galveston Independent School District,
yes,
correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So I guess obviously by saying that, teen parenting or the whole idea of teen pregnancy is just not a high school problem, but also a middle school issue too, correct?
Yes, it's any. We haven't had any students in the middle school for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. But community-wide, yes, it is. So sometimes it gets kids back into school who may be out of school because they've had a child and just really don't know what's available to them. So we reach out to them as well and work with our staff here at whatever campus to get them back in school.
Typically, how do teens come to your program?
They can be referred themselves, or it can be a teacher or someone from a community agency. It can come from our Medicaid contact that's out in the community that has this region. It can come from UTMB, any of the private doctor's clinics, whatever. We will assist in any way possible.
And so when a teen comes to your office and talks to you the first time, tell us about that conversation.
It can be very different for everyone. Sometimes they've not told their parents yet, or sometimes they're just trying to get over the shock of just finding out that they are. Or their friends may bring them to my office as well. So we kind of sit down and go over letting them know that we're here to support them, mm-hmm. and we letting them know what's available to them, encouraging them to know that they can make it no matter what is going on. But we also want them to, I encourage them to please tell their parents, because the sooner they know, the better we can progress through everything.
I was going to ask you that. How do you gear that conversation around if your parents don't know that they do know? So how do you work with the young adult approaching that conversation with their parents for the first time?
Well, I'll always ask, is the parent aware of the pregnancy? because we can't tell the parent. But I do tell them, I'm going to give you some time to let your parent know, because you're going to need them in this whole process. And also, there are certain things that their parents are going to help guide them through, as well as what I do in my office as well. And that kind of takes a big burden off once they've told the parent. So most teen students will tell you, once they told the parent, it was a great burden that was lifted off of them, and they're ready now to progress to do what they need to do to be successful.
And I would probably think after the initial shock, it probably wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be, right?
Correct. Correct.
Do you... Let's bring in the males into the program. So how do you filter in, let's say, the future fathers into the program?
Well, I let the teen mother know that the program is available for the father. And oftentimes they will give me the name. And most of the time I will contact the dad and just let them know, you know, you've got a big responsibility here. And oftentimes they will express their fears, even though we often think it's just the female. It's also the male who has fears as well. And we kind of walk through some of those things, like, how am I going to take care of a child? I'm just a, you know, young kid myself, you know, and we walk through those things and we try to get them involved with other agencies as well, or, you know, men in the school who they... Mm-hmm. Can talk to, who are also fathers themselves. And then we kind of guide them through the process to talk about, you know, child support. We talk about parenting issues with them, you know, and oftentimes I've had groups with the dads too, to be able to have just dads alone in the group with a male facilitator there to talk to them about, you know, fatherhood.
Last school year, before the pandemic interruption, I had a female student approach me during the school day and said, "Mr. Dudas, I need to talk to you." So we went and found a private area in my whole area of classroom. And the student disclosed to me that she thought she was pregnant. And this is, I mean, my relationship with the student is always kind of, you know, joking around or whatever. So she did have a serious look on her face. But my first response back to her was, "Is this an early April Fool's joke?" And it wasn't. So I just said, okay, you know, think, you know, fast on your feet. And that's not the first time a female student has approached me for, you know, assistance like that. So we started having a conversation, and I asked her, "Does her parents know?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Does anyone else know?" And she said, "No, you're the only one I felt like I could trust enough to, you know, to disclose this to you and kind of come to, you know, for some advice about what to do." And I did notice whenever she came into the classroom, there was a young man who was kind of with her, but he was standoffish and he was still out in the hallway. So my assumption, which was correct, that was, and he did have a scared look on his face. Mm-hmm. So that was potential father there. And so my first thing was, you know, I was being as compassionate as possible. And I said, okay, we first need to get you to one of the counselors to talk, you know, and then they can decide about what the step two is. And I asked her, I go, are you sure? And she goes, "Well, I had a pregnancy test and I thought I was, and it was negative. Then I took another one, or I think it was positive. And she took another one. It was negative." So she wasn't really sure. And I'm assuming that can probably happen, go back and forth until they have an official test, I guess, you know, through a medical facility. And I said, okay, well, let's go talk to one of the counselors. And I asked her who her counselor was, and it was the male, of course, the male counselor, which she was not comfortable in talking to, which I can understand.
Right.
And so I went and found her one of the female counselors who was available, and they took over from there and got an appointment at the teen health clinic here at Ball High School. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, proceeded on and did a test, and luckily she was not pregnant. It was just a big scare.
Good.
And so that was it was a success story. Yes. And I had asked her, I go, "Well, what do you think your parents' reaction was?" Because I was brainstorming. I was just scared. She said, "I think they'll kill me." You know, like, this wasn't part of the plan.
Right.
I go, "Well, it's never part
of
the plan."
Unexpected interruption.
And then, you know, it's just one of those things that happens. So anyway, so I guess happily ever after with that. But I know it happens, and that's not the first time a student mm-hmm. has disclosed that. So that's just, I know, a part of our world.
It's
and
part of our world.
Sometimes, you know, we're lucky or unlucky enough, and I guess really lucky, that kids can confide in
that's
us
right.
and know
that's
and
right.
trust us. And so that way, if they're in a panic situation, we can help them make the right decision
right.
to continue on down
that's
the path right. for to make them ultimately make the right decisions.
Right. And I'm happy to say too that we've had several students I used to come back into the classes. Well, now since COVID, we have to Zoom. But prior mm-hmm. to last year, I used a lot of former students to come into the classroom who are now in successful careers. They're like nurse managers at UTMB. They're school teachers in our district and other places, and they have gone to college and have very good careers. And so they come back into the class and mm-hmm. share with those students to show them that they can make it if they just persevere.
What are our pregnancy statistics here, Abal? Over the past several years, it doesn't seem that great, or is it more than I would think it is?
Actually, when I first started, we used to have anywhere from about 80 students a year.
Really?
Now the teen pregnancy has declined, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I run anywhere from like 20 to 25 students a year. Most oftentimes for the last couple of years. However, it could change at any time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So 20, 25 out of 2,000 students, that's not a very high
percentage. That's not
percentage.
A high, not like it used to be, and we're all happy about that.
My first school that I started teaching at 14 years ago mm-hmm. was 99% Hispanic, mm-hmm. and, you know, with Hispanics, you know, with... As you well know, depending on your demographics, you know, things are different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was kind of shocked to see at first how many pregnant mommies were in that school, which I kind of quickly found out that was kind of typical in that demographic, and it was all Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I learned that the parents and families were very accepting of a new potential
right.
child in
right.
the family. Mm-hmm. And, then I kind of got over the shock whenever I would see a pregnant mommy in the hallway, because there was a lot.
Right.
And so I kind of got over this, and it just kind of became a way of life or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I saw students of mine, you know, in the classroom, you know, like talking about baby showers and all that. I mean, it was just
That's
part
good.
Of the norm, part of the culture
right.
going
right.
on. But then coming here to Ball, I haven't really noticed that.
Yes.
But with the statistics that you just cited, it's really not that many.
Yes, and they want the same things that all other students
exactly.
want. And they want to be successful like all other students too, and they really strive their best to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell them all the time, this was something that maybe have occurred in your life, not at the time you wanted it to, but right now you're going to have to make the best of it and move forward, because now this child is counting on you.
And your initial conversations with students, you know, who are going to become teen parent, do they really actually realize, like, their life is going to change? It's never going to be the same.
They immediately know that mm-hmm. their life has changed. That's one of the things I've noticed with a lot of the students I've had encounters with. They know right off the bat that their life has changed once they first find out. And it definitely becomes a reality even more so when the baby gets here, because now you're not only thinking about yourself, but everything you do, you have mm-hmm. to think about your child.
And how many years have you been in this business?
30.
30, okay.
30.
So let's rewind back 25, 30 years ago. How have things changed over the years in this business where you've been counseling a potential, or, you know, parents-to-be who are teenagers?
I think the students now, they know more
mm-hmm.
now. I think they have themselves, sometimes their parents I've had before. So now I'm seeing the next generation from the teen mother that I may have had back in the 90s or whatever. And so they'll make that connection with me very easily sometimes, because mm-hmm. my mom knows you. My mom said she
mm-hmm.
had you.
Right.
And so I definitely get in touch with the parents. I've seen now that those parents work really hard with their students now, because they themselves know what it was like being a young mom. And they encourage them to do more than what they did too,
mm-hmm.
like taking dual credit courses or trying to take AP courses. I'm seeing that too. So, and
that's
they
good.
Keep connected, you know, with me. I'm still connected with a lot of my students who have already graduated and left Ball High, but now
mm-hmm.
I may have their child now. So they actually keep in touch. and want to stay on top of their child. Yes.
What's your biggest piece of advice you give to these teen parents?
Telling them to stay with it. Don't give up. No matter what the day looks like, get your network system going so you know who to go to when you're stressed out. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I need help. Don't be afraid to say, you know, I really need a break right now, or things are rough right now. Don't think that you can conquer it all, because you're still a teen with many, many different mm-hmm. types of roles. You are a child, you're a teenager, you're a parent, you know, you're a friend to someone else, and sometimes all of that collides together. You have responsibilities more than the average student who's walking in Ball High, so your day is not going to be like their day. It's going to be mm-hmm. totally different.
And do you ever have a conversation with the teen parent, like, you realize how this happened?
Like, always.
Like, how can we make better decisions
we
moving forward?
We talk about making better decisions. We talk about prevention. Mm-hmm. We talk about those things because mm-hmm. that is key. I want them to know how this happened the first time.
Right.
Understanding the physiological process of the human body.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right, in the minute or so that we have left, I want to send a big congratulations to your way. As I was researching you, and I had forgotten, because I remember seeing it, you were a local nominee for Citizen of the Year in 2020. How did that all happen?
It was such a good feeling. I still don't know who really nominated me, but I'm grateful for that. You know, I was grateful to be among the stars
yeah.
that were there, and I was deeply honored, and it was a good feeling. It really was.
Because you were in a really a select, unique group of people. So congratulations.
Thank
and then
you.
I know
Thank
you do a lot of
Thank
work
you.
And that type of thing. And I know as we were preparing for this podcast that you were delayed having to counsel a young student. So you handle other things other than just teen parenting, right? You get involved in other social, emotional, mental
yes.
type issues, right?
Yes, yes. And I'm also president of our county coalition. We have a Galveston
wow.
County
mm-hmm.
Teen Parenting Coalition mm-hmm. that's made up of school districts and community agencies who serve this population, too.
My guest on this edition of the podcast has been Carla Jeters from the Teen Parenting Program in the Galveston Independent School District. If you would like to be featured as a guest and give us all the scuttlebutt on your business or organization, drop us a line right here at RadioGalveston.com.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Carla. And for those who are not on the island, you definitely need to be here. November, one of the best months on the island. And there's so much going on. And, you know, we do have that free digital island guide. If you're on Google or Apple devices, just go to your app store and search for Galveston. It should pop right up at the top, or you can download it from our website at galveston.vip. And if you've got a business, the listings are free for the businesses, because we want to help everybody get back up and running during these challenging times with the coronavirus and everything else. So be sure and download the Galveston Digital Island Guide, because there's some free tours on there too. The Turtles Around Town tour, a really nice virtual tour of Moody Mansion, and the very popular tree carving tour, self-guided, or it can be done virtually right there on the app. And under the tours button, there's even that cool new ghost hunt, which you can do, keep you socially distant, and learn a lot about Galveston's history, as well as some of the haunted history and some great stories. Even though we're past Halloween, there's always a lot of haunted stories happening around Galveston. So if you haven't subscribed, be sure you subscribe to the Galveston Experience Podcast. We're on all the major podcast platforms. That way you'll get notified when we release our next episode. So hopefully you do get a chance to enjoy this beautiful weather on the island. Stop by and say hey at the Galveston Experience Company at 15th and Seawall, home of RadioGalveston.com. Maybe we'll see you up and down the seawall, zooming up and down on a motorcycle. If nothing else, we'll be looking for you right here next time on the Galveston Experience Podcast.